Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Oh, welcome everybody to another episode of Dueling Tangents, this time for sure on a Monday, because it is definitely a Monday.
Yeah, waking up to snow on
Monday morning
in April.
If you're anything like me, you will have probably have stayed home and slept the entire day and then eaten everything that you have seen in front of you and then gone back to sleep. Because, folks, if you're a bear like me, you're feeling that strong urge to hibernate, and I can understand why. And if you're a political creature, you're also having the strong urge to go and hibernate right now because,
some of us.
Or you might just turn into a bear and rage and scream at into the ether.
I'll try to keep the screaming to a minimum on this show, Brian.
Yeah, there's a lot of. I'm gonna be hibernating, and Luke will be exhibiting the other side of being maybe a poked bear. Which will be fun. We'll get into that in a little bit. But you're listening to us in the southern swath of Wisconsin, over here in Waukesha on 540 AM, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. You're listening over there in Madison on 1580 AM, WTTN, as well as 92.7 FM, Devil Radio. You can check us out on the Devil Radio app, and you can either choose the Devil Radio side, which is the Madison side, or the Waukesha side, which is me.
Shaw side.
But either way, the important thing is the force, it surrounds us.
We got to keep it in balance. We are all one with the force. So
today I'll be playing the good cop, you'll be the bad cop. I'll be the hibernating bear, you'll be the poked bear.
I'll be the bear that's been shot with several tranquilizers, trying to make sure that he's docile enough that doesn't get taken out back behind the woodshed for the fear of my anger scaring some people off.
Yes, so this weekend... It was a very holy weekend for a lot of folks. We celebrated the story of Horus.
Well, it was all three. There was Easter, Ramadan, and Passover all on the same weekend. Which, in the first time my memory serves me that it's happened at least in my lifetime since I've been kind of paying attention to all that.
Yeah, and it's funny how I'm pretty sure most of those religions, you know, decry the people that. Maybe based a lot of their religion on, I don't know, the nature and the stars and things, but yet they use one of their most powerful holidays has to be ruled about the how many moons after the equinox or around the equinox. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome how they completely destroyed all
it
the pagans.
It just shows you how similar
and then
they,
took,
they
took
all
their,
three are.
Took their things and said, hey, we're going to adopt this for, or that Easter, that bunny is not anything to do with any sort of paganism. At all. Neither the rites of fertility at all that they have just basically taken over. And the similarities to Horus have nothing to do with anything else. But, I mean, hooray, religion, right? We should celebrate all of it. And I'm not, again, I don't want to poo-poo anybody who gets things out of that. If you become a better person by going to church, good for you, and I appreciate that. I'm of the mind, like I told everybody, my religion is baseball, and I want to back that up. Like in Bull Durham, when he's talking about the pitcher, Nuke LaLoosh, he's pitching well because he believes he's breathing through his eyelids and he's wearing women's lingerie underneath his, but he believes that's why he's pitching good. Even though the reason he's pitching good is because he's not really overthinking it and just throwing the ball and doing what he tells him to do. But really, it's because – but my point is if you believe that you're hitting because you're hitting well because you're wearing women's lingerie, then that's the reason why you're hitting well. My point is belief is very powerful. And,
belief is a powerful thing.
And so however you get there, you get there. But I would like to encourage everybody who believe they did the right thing by going in and putting their time in to also put their work in. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Well.
So, but again, the holiday weekend, everybody was pretty much tuned out last week. Last Friday, right?
Like you said, it kind of became a little bit of a ghost town in where you are in Waukesha, and things really slowed down. It was kind of a slower news day on Friday, and Brian, I knew of all the people that I follow, of the sources that help make up the news here in Wisconsin that I follow, reporters, journalists, everybody. there were murmurs that there was going to be a Supreme Court announcement. We kind of kicked it around on last Friday's show. You can go check out the podcast at Dueling Tangents. You click on the podcast tab for devilradio927.com. Click on Dueling Tangents, and you can listen to that show. But there were murmurs that there was going to be some news dropping last Friday, and then 4 o'clock rolled around, and I was like, oh, meh, maybe not. And it's time to start enjoying the long holiday weekend. And 4:54, I believe, is when the news story dropped that I saw, and I sent it your way because I knew you were still doing some production work for the Devil's Advocates, and I was like, hey, you guys got to see this right away. But the Wisconsin Supreme Court adopted the Republican-submitted maps for redistricting right at pretty much 5 p.m. Friday before
the maps
holiday
of more
weekend.
Change.
The maps of more change. The maps that allegedly, if you want to accept the good faith argument, because that's what it seems like at least the 4 out of the 7 justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court accepted, I contend it's a bad faith argument, but Republicans claim that their maps didn't take race into consideration, Brian. That's what they claim. And so we're going to have seemingly those maps are going to be what's going forward. And that decision sent mine and a lot of other Wisconsinites' minds racing at a million miles an hour.
Two things here. One, on a programming note, for anybody listening to both of these stations, the Devil's Advocates will be a replay today, but it will be last Friday's show that will be replayed. Okay, it's important. One, because Jim Santel goes through a lot of legal information for the first 2 hours, and it's really good information, very, very important. But then they transition, and Crudy joins with Maggie Dawn as well as Dominic Salvia. So all three of them had to react in real time to this announcement that the maps basically the drop. And it was.
And bless them, because I don't think that I could have reacted in real time, at least not on a matter that was acceptable for radio.
Well, I got to remind you that these guys came together. It was a laugh at Friday. We're going to talk about some stuff and we're going to drink some tequila and have a great time. And these guys were in a party mood when they walked into the studio. They were having a great time. I haven't seen Maggie in a really long time. It was great to see her, all this wonderful stuff. And then the news hit and it was. Everybody went into show mode, and it was really interesting. So I encourage you to listen along and check out the Devil's Advocates today, especially since a lot of people didn't get to hear last Friday's show. Go into it a lot more in depth, but we're gonna cover it in real time. Give us a call. Let us know what your reaction is to this. It's a miniature bomb dropping, kind of, you know.
Well, it's almost, Brian, it sucks a little bit more because A lot of people thought the Wisconsin Supreme Court had made their decision, and already it was.
Yeah,
already
we were already talking about
it. Was maps for the congressional level were already being put into place because the Wisconsin Elections Commission said that they didn't have any other maps to go off of, and that's what they started circulating ahead of last week's nomination signatures that started going out for congressional races. And so Republicans wanted it adjudicated in state courts. They wanted it before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That's what they got. And then when the decision came out, after they got the principle of least change being the principle that these maps were chosen upon, then they cried foul, and because they didn't get their way. They lost. They lost in state courts. And so they took it to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court here is really the true culprit. Because in an unsigned opinion, the shadow docket, as it's referred to, is what sent this back to the state Supreme Court. So Justice Hagedorn and the 3 liberal leading justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court decided that the maps submitted by Evers were fair maps, that were the maps of least change, and the maps that the state should go forward with for the next decade. And Republicans lost that tiny little bit, Brian. They literally won every other aspect of the argument. It got adjudicated in state court. It was the maps of least change, which went changed from, as a Harvard study showed, one of the worst gerrymandered maps in the nation. That's what the maps of least change were based off.
Just a little
off.
Bit less than
they
that.
They were slightly less than the worst maps, gerrymandered maps in the nation. They were slightly less than that. And Republicans said, no, foul. We're taking this to the Supreme Court.
Previous before they went to the Supreme Court, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, with Hagedorn and the Liberal Justices, chose the maps of least change from Evers. They had another option, which was the Republican map, which Hagedorn sided with the Liberal Justices, saying that the Evers map was better and more closely aligned with what the U.S. Supreme Court had asked to do. So they sent the map back, and they appealed, and now Hagedorn was left with basically either they rejected the map, the Evers map, essentially. The U.S. Supreme Court rejected the Evers map, which meant that they only had one left, which is the Republican map. And that's what we have left. And that's what we're doing now.
Well, Hagedorn could have told the Shadow Docket, well, I don't actually take your unsigned opinion into consideration. And now I know Hagedorn's got a lot
he's
of...
totally not that guy, though.
He's getting slapped around from both sides, and maybe that's exactly what we need in a justice, but at the same time, he could have told the Supreme Court that the Shadow... that, hey, fine. If you're going to tell me these maps are bad, put it in an assigned opinion. Hear the oral arguments. I'm going to not take your consideration of Shadow Docket into consideration until I get a formal decision out of that body.
But that's the thing you got to understand about Hagedorn is he's a procedure guy. He looks at the U.S. Supreme Court as his boss. If his boss tells him to do something, he's not going to question it. He's never been the guy to go and question what his boss says. The guy takes the word of God nearly literally. But he also takes what he says nearly literally. So when he's saying, I'm gonna interpret the law as close to what I believe the law is, that's what he's doing. He's doing as much as closely as to the letter of the law as possible, even if it defies, you know, logic or, you know, the arguments of the moment at all. It's going to be for him. He's like a cold-blooded robot as far as the law goes. And that's almost what you want. And I'll go and tell you what every justice tells you when they don't make the ruling that would make sense, is that make the law better.
I would love to see the law made better, because the Hagedorn sided with the other three conservative justices, saying that he was choosing the Republicans' maps because they were race neutral. Race neutral, Brian, and we're going to dive in a little bit
more.
They're
using the freaking...
Race neutral is what his decision was. So I guess you could say, fine, he's a robot. What do you put in, he computes out. But it was a terrible decision, and it's bad ramifications for the state of Wisconsin for the next 10 years. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. We're going to continue on this topic, taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. I'm holding down the fort here in the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison. Brian's broadcasting live from Waukesha. We're talking some breaking... Well, it was breaking news on Friday right before. It was a Friday news dump, which is like almost the most insulting thing, Brian, because then this morning I come in and I'm starting to cut headlines for the day, and Republicans got a second... The Republicans on the Supreme Court got a win as well, because after a holiday weekend, I come in on Monday and this story is buried, Brian. This
totally
story
buried.
Isn't even the top page on the State Journal, on the Journal Sentinel, this was not the top story anywhere. It literally has already been erased from a weekend's news cycle. That's all. It broke on Friday night at 5 p.m., and that was the decision. The quote-unquote liberal media in Wisconsin is already done talking about this because it's not front-page news anymore.
Wow.
They don't want to hear. They got the win every time.
I don't want to hear anybody complain. Oh, the liberal media. Who's talking about these maps? It's awful. It's crap. And every liberal should be pissed. And most of them don't even know about it.
These maps are garbage, Brian. These maps take they're more extreme than the worst gerrymandered maps that in the country over the last 10 years, from 2011 to 2020. These were the one of the worst set of maps, and now they've taken them and made them even worse because Republicans just couldn't help themselves but gerrymander even more. Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu didn't take the people into consideration out of since 2017. Republicans have lost 11 out of the 12 statewide elections held here in Wisconsin. Brian Hagedorn is the only Republican slash conservative leaning candidate that won statewide in the last 5 years. And their stance is, oh, we're not going to moderate our position. We're not going to meet the governor halfway. We're not going to do any. We're going to go to 11. We're going to make this worse. And Brian, this is the first time that I, as a young adult, ever actually contemplated moving away from this state. I went and did a summer in D.C. I liked it. It was part of a school program. I finished up my degree. I got to see what D.C. was like for a little bit. But literally, it was a 2.5-month program, and I was itching to get back to Wisconsin as soon as I was on the East Coast for 2.5 months. I love Wisconsin. Wisconsin is in my DNA. And this was the first time where I sat and stared at myself and said, why is this state trying to diminish and shove in a corner the political views that I have so hard? Why am I choosing to put down roots here and make my life here if this state just wants to keep slapping me around? And I am a white male, so I can't imagine how just mind-blowingly upset other demographics have to be with these maps.
I gotta tell you.
I know I have privilege. I am aware of my privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to do the best I can to advocate and enunciate for individuals out there that I believe aren't getting a fair shake and try to improve things to make things better, Brian. That's why I don't like the sound of my own voice. I don't come here from 2 to 3 on weekdays to do this radio show with you because I like hearing the sound of my own voice. That's probably the last reason why I'm standing in front of this microphone right now.
Mm-hmm.
We need change here in the state of Wisconsin. And for the first time ever, I contemplated why I'm trying so hard to do what I'm doing here. And why would I not want to go? If you're a young professional trying to establish yourself here in the state of Wisconsin, what is the state doing for you right now? What is this Republican legislature doing for you right now? They're not expanding access to healthcare. They're not legalizing marijuana and taking on the revenue stream that we could have here in the state that Michigan, Illinois, Minnesota has all taken advantage of. They're not investing in public schools. They're not doing anything right now to help attract Wisconsin, other people to come and live in Wisconsin, and they're driving Wisconsinites away. And to believe that these maps are going to improve anything in the next 10 years, there are some dark days ahead, Brian, if these are the best that we're going to have to deal with. And it is mind-numbingly frustrating. And I literally...
I can't argue with you, man.
I know you can't. And I've
been around this country. I've been almost... I've been coast to coast at least 2 or 3 times, man, on the ground. Not flying. I've driven through. I've driven through the podunk bus stops that are towns. I've driven through the places where a gas station is the only thing they got, and the people around are all the same. I mean, not necessarily, you know. I mean, regionally they change, but at heart they're all pretty much good people that want things to live. And in general, most people are really darn good people. Yeah. They just have different outlets and points of view. So what I can tell you is this: the gerrymandering only works because everybody votes a certain way. I'm going to quote Major League here. I'm going to go back to baseball and say, well, there's only one thing left to do is go out and win the whole effing thing and go out there and go door to door until everybody is sick of hearing you. And they need to understand that we're here and we're not going anywhere. And there's a little bit of hope I can give you in my tour around the country. The places where that had the best, most awesome punk rock music scene, the ones that had the best crowds, the most populous amount of kids that were ready to go out there and change the world, that were going out there and fighting the system and trying to make change, the ones that would go out to a punk rock show in the middle of places, It's not New York or Chicago or anything like that. It's Indiana, Indianapolis. It's Salt Lake City. It's places where you'd think, oh, it's just a bunch of rednecks around there. And yeah, that's kind of what breeds it. Punk rock and change happens where it's needed. And right now, there's a whole
bunch of need here. A whole bunch of need here.
And I'm telling you, there is a whole bunch of people out there right now who are ready to go and do something. They just don't know what to do. So we got to go and get a hold of Ben Wickler and make sure we get everybody involved and organize the hell out of this. We got a couple months and we can do this.
Folks, we want to hear what you got to say about it as well. 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents. We're going to be right back.
One, two, three, four. Bum.
She's got a smile that it seems to me reminds me of childhood memories where everything was as fresh as a bright blue sky.
Oh, my.
All right, Tommy, you're the
welcome, everybody. This is Dueling Tangents. I want to punch this kid right in his stupid face. He's just like... Poor kid. I mean, great casting. It's great casting.
Perfect casting.
This is from Step Brothers, but that kid they cast to sing this, I mean, just, he's really good. I mean, good for him and everything, and I'm probably a really nice kid, and I'm parents are probably really awesome people, but I just want to punch that kid right in his stupid face. It's perfect. It's so perfect. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We came
into Sweet Child of Mine because of the new Thor trailer dropped today, yeah. And then Brian surprised me with that little twist
because
to the tangents.
Because you need to smile, man.
You do.
And look, I get that this gerrymandering thing sucks. It's awful. It sucks. It just feels like a big old kick in the
teeth.
But in the teeth, and it sucks. But I have to introduce a concept to people that may not be very popular with a lot of folks, but you're going to need to do it. I'm going to tell you, you may need to embrace a few Republican candidates here and there. And I'm telling you this, and this is why. There are certain areas that no matter what we do, they're going to screw us, no matter what.
Got news for you, pal. They're going to nail us no matter what we do.
So my point is, why are we trying to run a Democrat candidate in a place where if you put an R next to something, they'll vote for it? Like I make the joke, like if you just change your name to La Follette, you'll get in.
Yeah.
You know, but if you put an R next to your name, you'll get in. My point is, we got to identify and find sane candidates. With an R, we need to find Dale Schultz.
They're leaving the Wisconsin legislature in droves.
We need to recruit them and put them in. I don't know how to do it, but my point is, if they're going to push us so far this way, we're going to have to go in under. We're going to have to send in spies. I don't know what else to tell you, man.
I have a feeling that the ending of this story, Brian, is all of a sudden the Republican Party elects a majority of candidates that agree more with Timothy Rantham than Robin Voss, and all of a sudden, Robin Voss is going to have a supermajority potentially on his hands, but he's not going to be the speaker anymore. That's the terrifying part. Robin Voss is going to do all of this hard work to concentrate his power, and then he's going to be stabbed in the back and stare behind him and say, "Et tu, Brute?" And it's literally going to be one of the crazy Republicans that he's been just supporting and feeding fire to the flame this entire time. Mike, and that's going to be the end of the story that I'm afraid of.
I get you. And I'm scared of that too. What I'm telling you is, with something like, I don't know, democracy on the line, you can't worry about it being, it has to be our candidate or it has to be a D or an R. You have to go, we are now at the point where calling all sane people, calling all people who believe in government functioning. That's what we're talking about. It doesn't matter if they have an R or D.
That's my point. I agree.
There has to be some sort of, that's what I was hoping for the Millennial Caucus, but it just seemed like we're putting a bunch of people together so we can have a bunch of names so we can run on things. But yeah. I thought the Millennial Caucus was going to do that because that was their mission, but they kind of went, hey, we're the Millennial Caucus and we're going to go over here and then stay
over there.
But go yeah. doing our own thing.
But Brian, let's hear people hearing yeah. about yeah me screaming my head off. Let's go up to Wisco Paul. Wisco, what are your thoughts?
Well, this has been in the works for the Republican Party for about a dozen years, actually before Walker. Nobody knew what he was doing. He just had a good excuse to do it. The Democratic Party, you can put a fork on him, fork in him, I mean, not on him, as far as local elections in the state, the legislature. But we could do a lot to keep a Democratic governor in power, and that's what you're going to have to focus on. If you do not get a Democratic governor, oh, lordy, lordy, you'll be worse yeah. than Indiana here.
Yeah,
you need something to weigh. And if you're going to have to go all in on Tony and actually the next guy that runs for governor, all in, because if you don't have a check and balance, I don't have to stay in Wisconsin. I'm just recently retired, and I wasn't living close to Dane County. that's all I'm going to say on this. This is a bad, bad deal, and you're going to have to win the statewide election. End the conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We appreciate your call.
I can't disagree with you on that. I can't try and tell you to stay and fight for your home. You've been fighting for decades, Paul. I get it, man. I can't tell you what's the right answer for you for that either. That's a horrible thing to consider. But
winning statewide elections a bunch of other is great not going to be enough either, that. Though. There has to be engagement and involvement in every election at every level. In 2017, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race and the 2017 spring election, Annette Ziegler, one of the conservative justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, ran unopposed. It's not just going and winning winning elections. It's going and participating. And like Brian's saying, there's areas around the state that a Madison-based candidate, a Madison ideology, isn't going to win everywhere. But there are plenty of people that care about functioning government. That's what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking
Having
about.
A base level of functioning government where the input from the citizens say, I don't know, 87% want nonpartisan fair redistricting, and it's just shoved back in their face. No, here's an even more gerrymandered map than before. And so we appreciate your call, Wisco, but it's not just going to be winning statewide elections. You've got to, everybody has to be involved,
you have to
paying
contend.
Attention and engaged in every race.
And you have to fight in every single arena, yeah. everywhere. And again, you can't just fight. You're going to put the wrong taste in somebody's mouth if you're just fighting for the D cause. You have to fight for the big D democracy cause. That's the most important thing. And the litmus test for any candidate in any community should be, I care about government, that it can function correctly. How that works and how it goes, that's fine. But let's all at least somehow get a shared reality. And I want to tell you, Paul brought up something that we're going to bring up anyway, but I want to read a little thing here. Disability Rights in Wisconsin applauds the vetoes of Tony Evers.
28
by the way,
last Friday.
28 last
vetoes
Friday.
From Evers last Friday.
And this is just from the Disability Rights Wisconsin. Regarding Medicaid, DRW appreciates Governor Evers' vetoes, which would have added significantly to the burden already imposed on people who rely on Medicaid as the sole source for their health insurance. It would have required people to reapply twice as often as they do now, would have increased the likelihood of people's applications would be denied because of minor errors on forms, would have imposed an ineligibility period if somebody inadvertently fails to report something that might affect eligibility. There's a lot of
that was the Republican proposal. The Republican proposal passed by the State Assembly led by Robin Voss and State Senate led by Devin LeMahieu passed that proposal. The only thing stopping that from becoming law was Governor Evers' veto.
You have
that's
the choice.
Just one instance.
The choice schools argument, right?
Yep.
I understand, and I can understand the arguments for wanting choice schools. I've heard both, and I'm not gonna go and get into that thing. But there's also things you need to consider. In addition, DRW applauds Governor Evers for vetoing the bills relating to publicly funded education. One of them would have caused disproportionate disruption for Milwaukee students with disabilities, mm-hmm. unnecessarily and expensively splitting the district into 4 to 8 smaller districts. The other one would have created massive expansion of Wisconsin's voucher programs in which students forfeit their rights and protections under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act to the detriment of the schools that are required to educate any and all students with disabilities. That's part of how they use the choice program to hang the public schools program. And they only have funding for one. That, but
right,
my
I was
going to
say,
is,
I can end that debate for you. Fund our public schools adequately, and you won't need the need for public subsidized private vouchers.
Exactly.
You won't.
But
so
these are just a couple examples of things that Republicans would have done and will do, yes, if there's not a, yes, Democratic governor here.
They're showing us what they want to do, and the only thing stopping these really bad policies from becoming law is a governor's veto. But not only that, if these maps go into effect, there's a pretty good chance that if Democrats don't go and compete in every election everywhere, that Republicans could have a supermajority to override that veto. So it's not just electing and winning statewide. It's we need to be everywhere. It needs to be a full court press, Brian.
Yeah, and you need to get people on the Republican Party with reasonable ideas and thoughts so they can go and talk to the other idiots on that side. Anyway, let's talk to our folks. Jeannie from Eau Claire. How you doing, Jeannie?
Hi, guys. Don't sound like a very good day today, but we need you, and you guys are doing an outstanding job. It's like a step forward and five back when you're fighting something like this that's been going on for years and years. But you guys have a good attitude and the right attitude. And what we need to do is now acknowledge more independence. There were a lot of Republicans who have spoken out and even joined their own groups against what is happening right now. Independence, we can fight. Independence can fight very well together with no labels that are fighting for democracy, that are fighting for the people in the state of Wisconsin. And we need to get those darn Koch brothers and Alec, you know what, out of our state, because I've been following that for a long time when Walker got in. I mean, this wasn't the way the state was in the state of Wisconsin. I'm 67 years old, guys, and I've been following politics for many years. We weren't like this, and the people have no idea. I used to talk about Koch brothers on my local station when they had one we could call into that was kind of in the middle of the road, and people thought it was Coke, the people that owned Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, people don't know. And spreading the word needs all different ways to do it. Now, I see people running for Senate that only have a website. Now, I live in a rural area, and I don't have very good internet access. They need phone numbers. They need people to take calls for them. They need to activate this goofy stuff just through the internet. Now, I'm an old lady, and gol darn it, there's a lot of retirees that don't have a lot of internet experience and stuff that want to get out there and knock on doors and hand out flyers and work. So they need to include phone numbers. They need to include family events. Years ago, Democrats used to have fundraisers where they'd have picnics and, you know, they used to count on the unions. My husband worked at Uniroyal. My family all worked at Uniroyal. They had different fundraisers and picnics, and people got together. They discussed issues. That don't happen anymore. So this side of the state is really threadbare. I call my TV stations and say, why aren't you letting us know what's going on up in Madison? They're not. And so people around here are just totally unknowledgeable of what's going on, what the Republicans are pulling on the other side of the state. So people making out, DVDs, getting their word out that way, sending them to people, you know, utilizing, they got to start using more TV commercials during supper time. Ron Johnson's been doing, yep, a lot of advertising how great he is and how he helped this black couple, you know, and they were all standing around him, but it was his own ad. And then there was another one, too, you know, where the right to try, well, that was his ad, too, but the family, he saved a relative, you know. So this is what we're seeing, you know, and I don't see much about anything else from the other the Democrats. So, what the Democrats need to do is start sharing some of their information and work together,
yeah,
as a group, and then show how they are a little bit different or what their primal thing is. So anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go on.
No, I get you.
We love a Jeannie rant.
You have,
I love
you have
it.
A, I love it. And you have a whole bunch of amazing things to say. And I want to point out that if you remember when Evers ran, right, there were like 16 other candidates, right? There were a lot.
Yes.
And most of them were running door to door. This is before the pandemic, so they were going door to door all across the state. Mike McCabe himself put on like 50,000 miles that summer. None of them won. They went to Evers, but my point is all of them made inroads. And so while you saw a bunch of things on the air, the people who see the things of Ron Johnson have to think about the person that they just saw in person in front of them instead. That's what they need to do.
Yeah, the ground game is going to be important, but over the airwaves and TV and television, all radio, it all works as well. And that's the thing. There's not going to be one silver bullet that saves this.
You have to fight everywhere at all times, just like Churchill said.
And I can tell you, Brian, there was a little bit to spare this weekend, but I'm feeling a little bit more fired up today. Folks,
I got a palate cleanser and two more callers.
And this is Dueling Tangents. We're going to be right back.
It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That's Luke.
Yeah.
I brought in Lizzo because we're going to have a palate cleanser later from the Lizzo episode of SNL this month or this weekend. And we got to get to some callers real quick so I can make sure that I make you all laugh before we all take off, because we've had a little bit of excitement here, and we should always have a nice palate cleanser at the end. So let's go to Joe from Madison. How you doing, Joe?
Terrific. You always have great callers. I think Jeannie wins for the day and possibly for the week. Surely the Democratic Party should just put a hotline to Jeannie and start to pump it forward on some of her ideas. Very concrete and a very pragmatic approach toward this situation, because the situation is really pretty profound. If 87% polled in Wisconsin want free and fair maps, and we can't get them, that we will continue to be one of the worst gerrymandered states in the country is a sad, sad legacy.
Right.
That's nothing to brag about.
And it's and a lot of the arguments I saw, Joe, over the weekend online from, you know, people that claim they're libertarians, moderates, conservatives, whatever they wanted to claim. They're like, oh, well, if you run better candidates and then you'll be fine, and then you take over and you get to decide where the redistricting lines fall, and then you can play the game. And it's like, this isn't a strategy that you can outvote or out-organize. It's not. It's they're making it collectively harder. We're on the precipice every single time almost of making it a fair, independent process, and then some other higher power intervenes and says, nah, we're going to side with the far-right conservative view on this.
Yeah, we're going to go worst. We want to continue to be the worst gerrymander. That's our identity. And boy, from the progressive politics and we were really a leader. Jeannie was right. You know, from what was done in the state in terms of progressive politics, all the way from the 40-hour work week to workman's comp, all of the bright, shining ideas that came out of the state. And now, what do we claim? We're the worst gerrymandered. It's not anything to be proud of, and it doesn't help anyone except for a few elite people at the very top who are doing just fine and raking in the cash. Off to the next caller. Thanks so much for the work you do.
Thanks, Joe.
Appreciate
and I really believe, Brian, that your idea might be the best thing, because like the Lincoln Project nationally was some of these more sane individuals, but former Republicans, and probably still call themselves Republicans in a lot of instances when they're in their social circles.
They did more to harm Trump than any attack from the
right.
From the
and
left.
Maybe we need, say, a La Follette project here in Wisconsin, because La Follette was a radical Republican in Wisconsin, but he pioneered a lot of those ideas that Joe from Madison was just describing here on the airwaves.
Our goal shouldn't be to flip it blue. Our goal should be to make it purple. That's what I think. Let's go.
A 50-50 state, and if you're going to tell me that these maps that lean almost 60 like 63-37, I believe, is like the start range. 63% favor Republican candidates in districts to 37% Democratic candidates. And if you're telling me that a state that Joe Biden won in 2020 and only Brian Hagedorn has been able to win statewide since 2017, that's these maps are not representative of the state. They're not.
No, not at all. Let's represent our friend Don in Madison. How you doing, Don?
Hey, gentlemen. I'll say it again. People don't care about government until it affects them directly, and then it's too late. And now you got to work your butt off to change it. People don't understand what's going on because they don't have to, because it doesn't really affect them. I would posit to you, gentlemen, that our democracy is pretty much already gone. You know, when the Supreme Court can rule in Republicans' favor, and the Republicans know the Supreme Court's going to rule in their favor, they make the rules. They think, oh, it's going to go to the courts. Courts are going to save them, and they do. You know, so it's a self-fulfilling circle that they do. I would ask you guys, you know, what's the Democratic Party of Wisconsin? What's their biggest initiative that you know that everybody knows? I would answer, no, there's nothing that we know that they've done publicly. They may be working their butts off behind the scenes. We don't know what they're doing. What's Evers' biggest accomplishment? We don't know. I don't know. I listen to you guys all the time. I follow politics day and night. What's Evers' biggest accomplishment is that he's vetoed all these Republican bills. Nobody makes it personal to everybody around is why these maps are bad, why all these bills are bad. Evers isn't going to tell us why these are bad. We got to do this ourselves.
But, yeah, and they do a great job, and thank you very much for your call. Now, they do a great job, of the right does, of doing it over and over and over again. Mark, yeah. I got...
And one thing on Don's comment. I'm not the spokesperson for the Democratic Party, nor is Brian. Like, that's not what our job is here. We are not some cheerleaders for the Democratic or Republican Party. Like, we don't cheer either party. There's worldviews that we have, and we agree, Brian and I, a lot of times, but we disagree a lot of times, and that's what we come and talk about on the air, and we have some tangents, but...
Yeah. Speaking of tangents, I want to get to one. I'm sorry, Mark. I want to get to this. I'm sorry. Because we need a palate cleanser. I'm sorry.
Brian needs to cleanse my palate.
Yes. We got to play this. We only have a couple minutes left. This is from SNL. This is from the cold open. This was one of the best Donald Trump impersonations I've ever seen. And I think everybody needs to hear this on the way out. I apologize, Mark. We're going to talk tomorrow. I promise.
I guess it's true what they say. Spring is a beautiful reminder of what change can bring.
That's the Easter Bunny.
Excuse me. I was told we were doing Easter wishes and I was not given my turn. This is very, very unfair. Another example of how whites are being treated horribly in this country.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
Easter is time for basket. It's time for bunny. And frankly, bonnet, okay? And let's not forget egg. You have Easter egg, Cadbury egg, and my favorite, Reese's egg. You know, Reese's egg, it doesn't look like an egg, but I like Reese. I'm very good friends with Reese. Our wives are very good friends. You know what Reese always says? Reese says, not sorry. Reese says in a very deep voice, this is true, he says, not sorry. And that's good. We don't like food to apologize, do we? Like that awful Cap'n Crunch. He was very rude to me at Count Chocula's 500th birthday. You know, he was doing oops all berries. They say oops all berries now. You're hearing it all the time, oops all berries. Like it's a bad thing, okay? Why say oops? We love our crunch berries. Our berries are beautiful. Berries are very beautiful. I've heard we have the best berries, right, Mr. Bunny?
What the hell are you talking about?
And some people are saying I'm not healthy, okay? I'm in very good health. I do wonderful with health, okay? Healthy as a horse, like Seabiscuit. I see biscuit and I eat biscuit. Frankly, we're doing great things with biscuit and with bun and bread. You know, we're doing crazy bread. Little Caesars. I've known Little Caesar for a very long time. I actually told him. This is true. I actually told Little Caesar, I told him to say pizza, pizza, okay? He used to say it once, and I said, we should be saying it twice. We should say it twice.
Okay, I'm actually just gonna walk away. You win. You can have these.
And you know what? I would love to be Bunny. I would be so good with Bunny because I've told America COVID would be over by Easter. I just didn't say which one, okay? I didn't say which one was going to be.
They totally took my entire bit. This entire show is based on a long tangent.
Just
and that's
rambling,
what he just went
yeah,
on.
Ramblings, and that's
and,
what
and,
he did.
And he took my joke. That's what I said the second he said this would be gone by Easter. I just said he never said which one.
He never did. Folks, this has been Dueling
Tangents.
Sorry,
we need to close that
out
differently. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Actually, don't apologize. I loved it.
I was going to say, you were having the time of your life, my man. Folks, Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. If you miss any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. Talk to you tomorrow.